A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everyone, welcome to the show. It is, January 15th, 2021. For the podcasters, if you want to give me a call, we have four open lines. All you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And I just want to let you know that I released just a little bit ago, I'll go through and polish it a little bit more. I released an article just about 20 minutes ago, The Christian's Duty to Resist Ungodly Civil Authority. There's a lot of talk about the need to just obey whatever the government says. A lot of Christians are saying that Romans 13, 1 through 4 talks about the need to submit to what the government says, because that's what Romans 13 says. Well, it does, but the Bible also says some other things, and so we have to harmonize them, and what I've done is I've gone through there and related some issues in the Old and New Testament as well that demonstrate that yes, we're to obey the governing authorities. However, when it contradicts the Word of God, then we are to resist and to disobey. And I've got the documentation in the article, if you want to check it out, The Christian's Duty to Resist Ungodly Civil Authority. And you can go to carm.org, carm.org. All you have to do is go to the homepage, which is loading slowly. We're working on that still. And you can see the article listed there. All right. We have a prayer ministry, prayer@carm.org, if you are in need of prayer. And if you even want to join to help us pray, then you can just contact us there. We also have some forums, forums.carm.org, a lot of good discussions going on there. We stay on the air by your donations. Please consider donating to us. That would just be carm.org/donate. And I think that's about it. Just quick and slick getting in there. Oh, one more thing. We do have a newsletter. It goes out once a week. If you're interested in keeping up on what we're talking about, what we're doing, things like that, then all you got to do is sign up for that. It's on the CARM homepage as well. Real easy to do. It's at the bottom of the page, too. You just join our newsletter. You just put your stuff in there. And that's, and no, we don't sell it to anybody else. We don't, you know, we don't do that kind of stuff. So anyway, why don't you give me a call? Four open lines, 877-207-2276. Hey, DG, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Man, my wife and I were just talking about you a couple of days, or a few days ago, actually. And
I hope it was good, huh?
No, what she had to say was all bad, but I was defending you. You know, it was horrible.
But somehow I think it's probably the other way around. She's a sweet lady.
She is. She's a good woman, except for her taste in men. How are you doing? How's your wife?
I'm doing good. The wife's doing good, and we're just, we're just one day at a time, right?
One day at a time. One day at a time. That's
yeah.
Right.
And ready to have a Bible study here at my house here tonight. So
good.
Watching a video with Sinclair Ferguson on it.
Okay. Good.
And he's from Legionnaire Ministries, and he's
yeah.
It's good stuff. It's on the holiness of God.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic, the holiness of God, because it really hits to the heart of ourselves as well as we contrast ourselves to the holiness of God. Yeah. Yep. It's stuff. Yeah, well, you got to come over and we got to hang out a little bit.
I've got a question for you.
Sure. What do you got?
Okay. This concerns the church I attend. I have a friend who is a new Christian. He's very analytical. He's quite intelligent, actually.
Okay.
And, like I say, he's a baby Christian. So he asked me a question. He's always asked me questions to make me think. And on this one, I thought, okay, I'm going to call you. Here's the situation.
Okay.
We are selecting a new pastor for our church. And the way it's going, they paid a guy a lot of money to kind of bring in the number of candidates, you know, bring in candidates, and he'll interview them, and then he'll let us know what maybe, you know, what fits our criteria that we presented with him. Mm-hmm. Then there's a pulpit committee that goes through everybody. And some of them may come and go, come to the church and everything and talk. And then the elders have to okay it, and then the members have to okay it. Okay, the problem was that my friend was saying that if women are not supposed to be pastors, mm-hmm. which is true, or have authority over men, well, are women having authority over men if you put them on the pulpit committee, to choose who's going to be there and who's not going to be there?
Yeah,
and there are
question.
Two or three women on that committee.
Yeah.
And I wasn't sure how to answer him. I mean, I want to answer him in such a way that, well, it'll get through to him.
Yeah, it's a good question. When we look at the Word of God, there is no clear answer to that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
It does say in 1 Timothy 2 that a woman is not to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain silent. It talks about the authority in the teaching context, and it seems to be that that's what it is. And when we go to 1 Timothy 5, it says that we're to give, 1 Timothy 5:17, the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. And then it says in Titus 1 and 1 Timothy 3, it talks about the qualifications of an elder had to be male. And
right.
The deacons who had to be male as well, and stuff like that. So, can they be on a committee to help select a pastor? That's a tough one. I'm not even really sure how to answer it. Because we don't want to have them be an authority, and that is a sense of authority. But on the other hand, we want their input as well. I think
yeah.
the proper thing to do, though, would be have the males be on the committee, and then they run it by the church as a whole, and they say, "Here's what we've done," because it is an exercise of some authority in the issue of selecting pastors. And
right.
so I'm starting to lean towards the ideas I'm talking about it, that they should not be on a pastor selection committee because it is acting as an authority structure over men in eldership. And that just doesn't seem to be their place. So I think that they should not be on a committee. That's my opinion. And that men should decide this. And then they should bring their recommendations to the church and see if anybody has any questions and any issues, because that's important for everybody. But ultimately, it's the elders who make that decision. And so I think
right.
that's the proper procedure to do it.
Yeah. He also made the point that the people on the committee should be people that are should be able to be elders themselves. And if you're on the committee and you couldn't be an elder, or you didn't, maybe you shouldn't be on the committee because you're yeah. picking somebody to be kind of the lead elder, if you will.
Right. Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think that's consistent. I've never been asked that question before. It's a good question to kind of think on my feet here. But I would lean towards the idea that women are not to be on a pastor selection committee where they exercise a vote that authenticates or does not authenticate an elder, because they would be in authority in that position and in the church, in a church context. So I would say no. And I'd be glad to go to the church there and talk to them if they're interested about that. Of course, they wouldn't. I'm sure they
yeah.
wouldn't want that.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just something he brought up. And I told him I thought like a woman that's the head of women's ministries, not that mm-hmm. she's a pastor, but she's the head of women's ministries, or a woman, and they have a woman that's sometimes the head of the Sunday school
right.
for children. It would be, I was thinking, well, maybe it's okay for them at least to be able to have to refer to their situation and their problems, and how would this new pastor help them. So,
right.
but.
Yep.
It's an interesting question.
Yes, it is. And we have to adapt what we know about Scripture in order to apply it to the best of our ability. And, you know, thinking on my feet, that's my position. Maybe I'll change it later if something new comes in, but I just don't see it, because it's going with what the Scripture says to the best of my ability to understand. So
super.
Yeah.
Well, that, you know, I appreciate your opinion, and I'm trying to come up with another hard question in the future, but appreciate your ministry, and you know how much, because I've told you that before. So
yeah,
you're a light to the Christian community of the world, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's pretty high praise. I appreciate that, but God gets all the glory and
yep.
And stuff. So, but praise God, man. But praise God, and yeah. You know, if you ever want me to come over to your house again and mess up a study, let me know.
Well, the people in our study love you. They really do.
Okay,
so,
well.
You know.
I can mess them up. And, you know, I'm good at that.
Well, you did cause a few headaches for one or two people last time, but they got over it and they figured it out, so it was okay.
Good.
Okay. So, God bless you, my friend, and say hi to Anik for me.
All right, I will. I will. God bless. Okay. Thanks. Thanks, DG. You're awesome, man.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, I guess you could conclude. He's a friend of mine. All right, if you want to call, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Anthony from Oklahoma. Anthony, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there.
Okay. Remember, I called in late yesterday, and then you told me to call back again, so I need more emphasis on the Seventh-day Adventists. Mm-hmm. Are they Reformed Christianity, or are they a true Christian church?
Well, that's a tough one to answer. Some of the official stuff of SDA is pretty bad. However,
okay.
They also do affirm the doctrine of the Trinity. They affirm that Jesus Christ is God in flesh, and they affirm that that salvation is by grace, not by works. That Christ's spirit Christ's sacrifice was victorious. Like I said, they affirm the Trinity, and they affirm baptism by immersion, which is fine. They believe in the literal return of Christ and a premillennial. So that's all good. However, they deny predestination. That's whacked, because the Bible teaches it. I don't know why anybody would say they don't believe it when the Bible says that God predestines us. I don't get that one.
Yeah.
But they deny the immortality of the soul and eternal hellfire. And what's aberrant about them is this. And this is where it gets into some serious issues where we could say they may or may not be Christian based on how this is taken and where it's taken and how far it's taken and which subgroups inside of SDA take it. So one of the things they teach is that our sins ultimately will be placed on Satan. That's not true.
Yeah, I've read that before.
Yeah, that's heresy. No, Jesus bore our sins, the sins of the elect, and he did not...
Yeah, that's called the scapegoat there, Matt. Right. I'm sorry to interrupt you. That's what they call a scapegoat doctrine.
Yep.
Okay.
And they'll call him the scapegoat. And but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus bore our sin in his body on the cross. That's what it says. So it doesn't say Satan's going to do it. So Ellen G. White was whacked in that area. Now, we've got a break coming up, so hold on. We'll get back and talk some more about it. Folks, if you want to give me a call, three open lines, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. We have three open lines. All right, Anthony, you still there?
Yes, I'm still here, Matt.
All right. So, obviously, the issue of their belief that Satan bears the sins is a heresy. And the problem here is that it has a potential of denying the sufficiency of the atoning sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And the reason I'm saying it has potential is because not all SDA hold this. A lot of them don't. So what I'm trying to do is not just sweep them all under one single rug. If they were to officially believe this, that would be a problem. If someone were to say, no, our sins are placed on Satan, ultimately I would have to sit down with them and say, look, do you realize what this, the damage that this is doing to the sufficiency of the cross, and explain it. If they were to not repent, then I would, you know, maybe say, you may not even be a Christian. You're probably not a Christian at this point. So there's that. They teach that Jesus is Michael the Archangel, but they don't teach that Michael the Archangel is just an angel, a created being, but that he was the pre-incarnate Christ. So they're wrong in that comparison, but in it, they're not denying the deity of Christ. They teach that you got to worship on Saturday, that the correct day is Saturday. They just fail to understand New Testament revelation at that point. Now, many SDA I've talked to do not affirm that you have to worship on Saturday to be a true Christian. But those who do, then they're preaching a false gospel, and they wouldn't be saved, okay? And then there's what's called the investigative judgment, that the fate of all people will be decided based upon this event in the future. And that's ridiculous, because they denied election and predestination. They don't realize that that fate has already been decided by God before the foundation of the world. And I can make that case very strong from Scripture. So it's an aberrant group at best, and a cult at worst. And I think it kind of hovers in between those two ends. Okay? I would never recommend anybody go to it. I'd recommend they leave it. All right?
Okay, Matt. So what you're saying is that there are some people in the Seventh-day Adventist Church that possible that are saved. They don't believe in the aberrant teachings of the church itself, but, you know what I'm saying, they believe right, in the central doctrines, and I guess that's good.
Right. It's like what I say about Catholicism. If anyone in the Catholic Church believes official Roman Catholic theology regarding salvation, they can't be a true Christian. So if anyone in the SDA were to believe official Roman Catholic, SDA theology regarding the investigative judgment, which is not required of them, that's what makes it difficult. It's not required of them to believe it, where in Roman Catholicism, it is. So this is why I say these, you know, but nevertheless, if they were to believe in the investigative judgment, the issue of Satan bearing our sins, and the requirement in order to be a true Christian for Saturday worship, then they'd definitely not be Christian. So, but
well,
like I said,
the case, man, they shouldn't be Seventh-day Adventists to begin with, then. So, you know.
Well, yeah, this is the problem. I've got friends who absolutely believe it's a complete non-Christian cult, and they've done more study than I have. But I'm always interested in learning more about it. But from what I've seen, what my studies are, I've just got to be true to what I understand and have seen. They are aberrant, to say the least. But there's no official need statement that I've seen in official stuff that they have to believe in the investigative judgment. And if they did, I'd have to look at it even more and say, what is going on? But I've talked to SDA people who say, no, we don't believe in that. I've had them say that we're not required to believe it. So this is what makes it difficult, if you see what I'm saying.
Right, right. And it's confusing to me, too. That's why I called in.
Yeah.
Matt, I got one more question, because I know that my time is limited here, and I know you got a lot of calls. Just one more question. Billy Graham. Now, this guy here is confusing to me. I mean, I guess he was known as a Christian preacher and all that, but from what I understand, he was a third-degree Mason. I mean, can that match? I mean, is it possible he was saved? I know it's a tough question.
Yeah, I don't know if he was a 33rd degree Mason. If he was, that would be a serious problem, because at that level, you're supposed to swear allegiance to certain things inside of, and that's bad.
So you don't honestly believe that he was a Mason?
I don't know if he was or wasn't. I just haven't seen the documentation for it. I have written an article on him, and it's on Carm, Billy Graham. You can check it out.
Yes.
And he did say some unbiblical things. He did.
Okay.
And so he let's see, what did he say? I can read. I used to play God, but I can't do that anymore. I used to believe that pagans in far-off countries were lost, were going to hell, if they did not have the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them. I no longer believe that. This is what he said. I believe that there are other ways of recognizing the existence of God through nature for existence, and plenty of other opportunities before saying yes to God. And so that's a very problematic statement that he said. Very problematic. And he says this too. I think that everybody, that loves Christ, maybe get a typo in there. Oh, that's from the video. Or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ.
I think the Robert Schuller show.
Maybe it was. Yeah, I've got it on the YouTube link. Yeah, it was Robert Schuller. And I'll read this for others too, because I know in the South there they love him, which is, you know, he's did a lot of good. But he says whether they're conscious of loving Christ or not, they're members of the body of Christ. I don't understand how that works unless he's a covenantalist, and we get into some other advanced theology. He says, and that's what God is doing today. He's calling people for out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called of God. That's heresy.
Confusing. Just confusing.
Yeah, it's heresy. So this is why, you know, it's really important that evangelists and pastors and teachers have theological studies. They don't make mistakes like this. It's important. But what's happening in America is a lot of churches, you know, they just say, no, you don't need seminary. It's really called cemetery. Look what they do. You know, it's just...
The message is being watered down. Yes, I understand. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for allowing me to talk to you, Matt. I think you're the best Christian apologist since, I don't know, I think you heard of him. His name was Walter Martin.
High compliment coming, you know, from you. I really appreciate that. I don't believe it's true.
I really do that, man. I mean, you're the modern-day Walter Martin, and I hope that your show prevails. And, you know, because we need more people like you and Dr. Charles Stanley and other, the passing also of Adrian Rogers. You know, these are like-minded, sound preachers. And I hope that, you know, you will be here for a while.
By God's grace.
The message is fading. It is fading. But thank you again, Matt. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
All right, man. Thanks. Appreciate that. That's quite high
Thank
praise.
You.
But okay. Yeah, I'm no Dr. Walter Martin. I did have the privilege of meeting him several times, and stuff. But he was great. He was awesome. I'm a moron compared to him. Let's see. Get to Amon from Florida. Hey, Amon. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey. Good to see you again, Matt.
Oh. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I recognize your voice, too.
Yeah, I'm usually on Discord.
That's right, yeah. There. And we got a break. Yeah. So, hey, buddy, you got to hold on, okay? Okay. Hey, folks, we have a break coming up at 3 open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. We're at the bottom of the hour, and we have 3 open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Welcome back to Amon. Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. All right, man.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to make a brief commentary or a quick comment on the issue of one of your previous caller who said that seminary is essential, the fact that people disregard seminary is one of the reasons why the church may be in trouble today. And I have noticed that a lot of times, primarily, unfortunately, and I don't mean to use this in any derogatory way, but I noticed it a lot in black churches, a lot of black charismatic churches, where people tend to disregard the idea of seminary, all in favor of a man just somehow thinking just because he reads the word over and over again, somehow he's able to be an official minister. Not to take away from the reality that some men may be able to impact the kingdom of God, but I'll have to say that seminary really does help a man see the depth of God's word and help him to understand the deeper doctrines that have secured the Christian faith for centuries.
Yep.
So, it's just unfortunate that people call seminaries cemeteries and think that somehow a man who's truly educated on what the word teaches in its historical context is somehow a man who's void of the spirit.
There are some bad seminaries out there. There are some bad ones, and
right.
Unfortunately,
right.
Those are the ones that get elevated up, and then you know, I've been to Calvary Chapel where they call them cemeteries. And as all they need is just to read that word and be moved by the Spirit, be called by God. Well, in some cases that's true, but in other cases it's I'm sorry, but it's insufficient. There is a reason that that we have the education of history, theology, and what great people of God have derived out of the Scriptures over the centuries. And to say, well, all I need is just to read the Bible, and that's enough in order to sufficiently represent God's Word, that's a risky and semi-prideful thing to say. And it is.
Yeah.
You know, you've heard me a lot on Discord. Well, you know, I've got outlines. I read books, and I've read commentaries. I've studied. I've learned so much from others. I just don't get all this from reading the Bible by myself. And that's how it has to be, you know. And so, yeah. Yeah, I remember your voice. Have you been in there lately when I go into the pagan rooms and they're just firing questions at me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unusual. And it's happening a lot. So I'm praising God for that opportunity. But I'll tell you, they can sure test my patience sometimes. That's for sure.
Well, not... And that actually brings me to the actual question I initially came on here for. Mm-hmm. When I was in the Discord server, one of the questions that was asked of me was about, in regards to presuppositionalism and God's omniscience. I think you know where I'm going with this. They were asking, how does God justify his knowledge? Or how does God know what he knows?
Yeah, those are two different questions.
How do we really answer a question like that?
Well, it's easy, and I've answered it with these guys. They want to submit God to their logic. And God doesn't justify his knowledge because his knowledge is, his infinite knowledge is part and parcel of his infinite quality of being God. He doesn't grow in his knowledge. Mm-hmm. He knows all actualities as well as all potentialities. And because his mind is infinite, he knows all potentialities. He just brought into existence one actuality out of a, you know, who knows, maybe even an infinite set of potentialities. And I've told them this. And they continue to ignore it. And I say, look, you have to understand, the very nature of the Christian God is that he knows all things by nature. There's no justification. Because God, in order to justify his knowledge from what you're saying, I tell them, he would have to have a system outside of himself to justify it, which is ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense.
Right. Well, it would contradict historical biblical theology, based on what I understand of, at least the Reformed perspective, it would contradict the very nature of who the triune God is.
Right. That's exactly right. And I tell him, I said, you can't argue against the Christian God from your perspective if you're going to misrepresent the Christian God. You know, Christians, sometimes these atheists will say to me, listen, imagine that your God is evil. I go, nope, doesn't work like that. You know, they go, well, how come you can't do an imaginary thing? Because you're asking me to say a square is actually round. And it's ridiculous. I'm not going to play this game. It doesn't work. When they ask me, well, tell us, how does God know all things? I just say, I don't know. He doesn't tell us how he knows all things, but I can say that it's part of his nature. It's what he is. It's an attribute of his existence. He exists in all places and all times, and we assume that out of that is the derivative necessity of his omniscience. But this is what we say out of Scripture. But they want so desperately to submit God to their logic, and they want to find reasons to deny him. And I tell them that. I'm quoting Romans 1:18 a lot. You know, they're denying God in their unrighteousness. This is what happens. But I do appreciate when you're in that room and you back me up, because I don't get much backup in those rooms. You know, it's basically a dog pile, and you know, I'm fighting my way out like a Krav Maga lesson. So,
I try to do my best, and amazingly, I'll get to the amazing part in a second. But they were asking me also about essentially God, the purpose of creation, and God's divine knowledge and sovereignty. They were saying, essentially, what is the purpose of God creating a universe in which he knew from his divine plan that we were going to sin? Or they would ask me, did God create Adam and Eve with sin in them? And of course, based upon what I read in Genesis, no, he created them pure, essentially pure and without sin. But he did give them, he did create them with the potential, or with the, if I'm answering this correctly, he did create them with the possibility or the option to decide to choose him or sin against him.
Right.
Would that be correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
They were created good, but they were not created holy. And I believe that holiness is a quality that belongs to God. And inside of his holiness is the inability to sin. And when we take that and put it in with Christ, that means he could not have sinned, though he could have been tempted. But you've heard me say this over and over and over to the atheists that we have so many discussions with. I say, you don't do your homework. You know, I tell them, you want me to study philosophy, epistemology, rationalization, Hume, you want me to study Descartes, you want me to study all these people, all these different philosophical views and subdivisions of philosophical views. I'm supposed to know all of them to be able to respond to all of you, and yet you guys won't even take your time to learn biblical theology and what we actually teach. And I say, you guys should be ashamed of yourself, you know, and then you go to some stupid website and think you've got a good question that can stump Christians. And I said, and you don't. And I said, you're amateurs. I said, go do some serious study. Okay. You know, so
Is there anyone else on your call list? Is there anyone else on the waiting list? I don't want to take too much of anyone.
I'll tell you what. How about if I put you on hold? Okay. We'll get the other caller and we'll come back to you, okay? Because you have good questions and good issues.
Okay.
You want to put you on hold, okay?
Okay? Thank you.
All right. Hey, folks, you have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Julie from Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to say I heard you mention Billy Graham earlier, and we saw him. My daughter and I saw him one of his last tours in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was started like a rainy day, and then when he spoke, it's like the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of disappeared and or went away, and the sun was shining. It was just amazing experience. I thought he was so great. My dad loved him, and I asked him why one time. And he said, "Well, because he speaks the gospel, he doesn't preach it."
Yeah,
I've just been hooked ever since. Mm-hmm. He did. He was great. He was great. I loved him, and he was a Democrat. Which I really love about that too.
Why?
And he also,
but a Democrat supports abortion and homosexuality. That's what the Democratic Party does. Why would you love that?
Well, that's not everything. That's not everything.
You know what?
You want to have your Christian point of view? That's fine. Great. You know, you can. But you know what? We're in a country that has people who don't believe in all different kind of faiths, and we have to
Are
be
you a
country
Christian?
Where.
Are you
I
Christian?
Am a Christian.
Then why would you support a political party that advocates homosexuality and killing the unborn in the womb?
Why would you support a party that?
Can you answer
that,
the question?
Most of the men have been on Epstein's yacht.
I don't. I don't support them, and I'm not a Republican. I'm a constitutionalist. So I'm asking
you. I'm independent.
Julie, well, you just said you're a Democrat.
I don't have a problem with Democrats.
You don't have a problem with people in a party that teaches killing of the unborn.
I have voted both ways. I have more of a problem with poverty. I have more of a problem with men.
Poverty's bad. Poverty's bad.
Men who won't take responsibility for treating these babies.
Julie,
where are the men that are treating these
babies? I agree with you, but. You're supporting a party and approving of a party that wants to kill people and promote ungodliness and homosexuality. We're going to break. Hold on. We're going to break. Oh, I hope she stays on after the break because I want to get in on that one. So, wait, folks, we have three open lines. Be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the show. We have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's see if Julie is still on the line. Are you still there?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Julie, can I read you some scripture?
Sure.
This is Ezekiel 22. Verses 27, 30, and 31. Her princes within her are like wolves tearing the prey by shedding blood and destroying lives in order to get dishonest gain. I searched for a man, this is God talking, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. Thus I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with fire of my wrath. Their way I have brought upon their deeds. So this is what God is saying is, for the land that does not protect the weak and the poor and the helpless and sheds innocent blood, which is what abortion is, that God will destroy that nation if someone doesn't come in and stand in the gap and turn this around. This is what God says.
You know what? That's quite a verse. The thing is, I know abortion is horrible, and I'm so glad there are churches out there trying to change the hearts of women going through this alone. But my brother-in-law, through the church, they help young women in crisis situations who would say help them go through there with their pregnancy. They find a home or a room and board for them, because a lot of times the family will have kicked them out of the house, and they will help them get skills, working skills, where they can, in the future, provide for themselves and their child. And that is just awesome. That is awesome. That's what needs to be shouted from the hilltops.
Do you denounce?
Trump is built is not this guy. Is not the guy who built the wall. He's not the guy. And, you know, there are other things, too. That need to be addressed. About the sacraments? You don't believe sacraments? How come you don't believe sacraments? There are sacraments in the Bible. Can you answer
Catholic.
That one? I let you say a question. Can you answer that me? Why don't you believe in the sacrament?
Because I don't believe in Roman Catholicism as a true church. It's an apostate church. It teaches a false gospel. It teaches idolatry in regard to Mary and teaches the infusion of grace as a means of obtaining salvation and retaining salvation by the amount of grace infused in your soul, which is blasphemy. Now,
why would you support... The Presbyterian Church also believes
in
sacraments.
Julie,
they believe in baptism,
Julie,
and they believe in
Julie,
the Lord's Supper.
Julie,
Jesus gave
come on,
that
Julie.
To everyone before you left. He
Julie,
said, Jesus, remind
Julie,
me, remember me,
Julie,
the Lord's Supper.
Julie,
me and my husband can agree
Julie,
on that.
Julie.
And that's a sacrament.
Julie.
Call it what you want.
Julie,
it's a sacrament.
Julie, can you just be patient here?
And Jesus didn't have a problem with women.
Okay. I had to hang up on her. She, unfortunately, is not teachable, and maybe because someone's not teachable, they're not reachable. And when you ask the difficult questions and they ignore them and then just go on and just talk incessantly, it means they don't want to face the issues. And I've encountered this so many times. It's unfortunate that she wouldn't be quiet enough to let me ask her the question on my radio show, but she didn't want to do that. Four open lines if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I'm on. You're welcome back on the show here. You still there, buddy?
Oh, boy, that was quite an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it was unfortunate that she wouldn't, just answer a question. My question I was going to ask her, which she refused to answer, why would she support a party, because she said she supported the Democratic Party, that advocates homosexuality and killing the unborn? I believe that any Christian who supports any candidate, I don't care what party, any candidate that supports killing the unborn and promoting homosexuality is in direct violation of Scripture and is in sin and needs to repent. Are they going to face a discipline of God? This is a serious thing. And preachers from the pulpit need to say what I just said. They need to point the congregation and say, this is it. And then have the documentation from the Democratic Party where they promote killing of the unborn.
Yeah.
And what reason is that for? Yeah. Because if the mom decides on her whim if that baby has value or not. I'd love to be in a national public debate on abortion. I have so many difficult questions. They cannot answer. They cannot answer the tough questions. They refuse to. At any rate.
Yes, and it's most unfortunate that many churches, and unfortunately, I hate to say this as a black man, and I don't want to necessarily be so caught up in my ethnicity. It's just that, unfortunately, at least in the culture we have today, people would identify you by at least primarily by your race, to one degree or another. But unfortunately, in the black church, it is unfortunate that many professing black ministers, primarily coming from more charismatic circles, I really don't see this as much of an issue for ministers who are reformed or understand sound biblical theology, but for those that are just general charismatic, and I notice this, unfortunately, in a lot of health and wealth, naming and claiming, blabbing and grabbing churches, those kinds of word of faith, those damnable teachings, unfortunately, they refuse to call out their, at the very least, they refuse to call the congregation on these social issues. And even some ministers who may have some kind of sound biblical teaching on some level, in a lot of charismatic circles, they absolutely refuse to rebuke their congregation on serious issues like abortion, because they know a lot of their congregation's going out, you know, having sex out of wedlock,
yep,
and then having babies out of wedlock, and then, or having abortions. Unfortunately, they refuse to call their congregation to return to orthodox biblical Christian teaching, because they know how seriously it'll affect their numbers, essentially.
Well, that's it. Then they are clouds without water. They are hidden mm-hmm. reefs, and that's the case. The pastor's job, the preacher's job, is let me exaggerate this to make the point, but to crawl on his knees up to the pulpit and bear the weight and the severe responsibility of preaching the Word of God and His truth to the congregation. And if he were to look out the windows to see what the secular realm is doing, let that influence how he's going to present truth, you know, in a negative way, because there can be good ways, you know, but in a negative way where he will not present something that might offend them because they're out there fornicating, being in porn, or getting abortions, then he is a false shepherd, and he needs to repent. And that's the fact. And, you know, we don't have enough men in the pulpits in America who hold to the severe truth of God's Word and the power that it has. Now, there are lots of men out there. There are. And I know some personally who preach that Word of truth, and I am so grateful, privileged. Chad Prigmore, you know, Randy Reams, these are guys that I know. Josh Bales, these are guys I know in this area who preach and teach the truth, and they don't want to compromise, and they won't mm-hmm. compromise. So these are guys, you know, I know them. But I'll tell you, there's far too many in the world who compromise, and they are going to face a strict judgment from God. Strict judgment from mm-hmm. God. You know,
it's one of the reasons why I'm...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, this is one of the reasons why I'm...
I think you broke up.
It's one of the reasons why I'm glad I'm not called to be a minister, because I understand, at least I don't feel necessarily the actual calling. I'll say I feel more called to be a musician and a praise and worship team, but on the same mm-hmm. token, I do understand, based upon a lot of what I've seen with sound reformed or sound, generally sound biblical teaching on preaching churches, and unfortunately a lot of false and damnable teaching coming from mm-hmm. some completely lost churches.
Yep.
And I see that, unfortunately, I see the severe judgment that can come upon a minister, and I do understand how serious it is to preach the true, very clear Word of God. So, and also me personally, I at least want to say this in regards to the issue of abortion and homosexuality. Now, I may not be as ready to go to bat when it comes down to the issue of LGBTQ+, because I understand the severity of mental health and emotional difficulties that really come along with that. And I still hold the position that God created man and woman to come together in that monogamous marital relationship, and that's the only acceptable romantic, erotic, sexual context that God gave us. So I do hold to that as a conviction. I know how difficult it is to bring that up in certain conversations because of the real issues, because a lot of the deeper issues that come from it. But one hill I will die on day and night is abortion. I will not, by any means, back down on that.
That's right.
That's one I'm more ready to go to bat about.
Well, you should. And the homosexuality thing is an abomination before God. And, you know, I didn't go to dinner last night. I was going to go with my family, but I was on an interview. Mm-hmm. But they were going to go with my daughter and someone else and go meet their friend who's a homosexual, and they all go out to dinner. I would have gone. I wouldn't have had any problem doing that. And I wouldn't have been mean or anything like that. But I certainly will not approve of that kind of behavior and lifestyle. And doesn't mean we hate them. Doesn't mean we're going to be violent. It means that so you need to pray for them, and at the right time you witness. That's what needs to happen. And so, you know, but I just wish, that the men of God in the pulpit, I wish they would just go and repent. Just go out into the forest, get alone, stay there, and just for a day or two, you know, and just read their word and preach a sermon to the trees and believe that God is the one hearing them, and then come back and preach the same sermon. How are they going to change a sermon when it's facing people? We're supposed to be preaching to please God and to equip the Christians, not to compromise them, elevate ourselves with sound erudition and how I can memorize or whatever it is. And I've watched, you know, these preachers, black and white, and what they want to do is use style to draw them in. Style, how they're going to talk. And they do all this stuff. And they're to me, they're sacrificing the power of God's word and replacing it with technique. You know, or what really drives me crazy is they open up with stories. You know, they want to do a five, let me tell you a story about something. The first thing they do is stories, or the substance of their sermon is about a story to illustrate something. Well, what's wrong with the power of the Word of God? Go verse by verse and exegete what it actually says, and then call the people to believe it or to change their mind about something they've already failed to understand properly, change their action. This is what it's called to do. But the fact is that because the Christians aren't out there doing what they're supposed to be doing and making disciples of all nations, means that the pastors are not teaching what they're supposed to be teaching, because we don't see the activity of the Christian church involved out there in the world hardly at all. What's wrong with them? What's wrong? I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't get it. You love Jesus. You're redeemed by Christ. He carried a cross for you. Get off your lazy rears and preach and teach the truth of Christ's word in the area you're able to, you know, that's what I mean.
Yeah. And with that, I do want to quickly go back to the the question that was mentioned in that.
We're out of time, buddy. Sorry. Oh, man. Wait, maybe I'll see you this weekend on Discord, but if I don't, call back Monday, okay? I enjoy talking to you. You're a good
guy.
All right, man. We'll talk later, buddy. All right, God bless. Oops, sorry about that. And Joseph from Iowa, sorry we didn't get to you. We're low on time anyway. May the Lord bless you. And folks, by his incredible great grace, we'll be back on the air on Monday. Have a great weekend. God bless.